And now it's time for the Called to Cultivate podcast, the podcast that understands your call to educate, elevate, and enrich the lives of others. Please welcome your podcast host, Regina Coley.
Hello, everyone. It's Regina Coley. Welcome to another episode of the Call to Cultivate podcast. I'm so excited that you are here today because we are going to have a very important conversation. If you are an educator, if you are an educational leader, if you are a parent, if you are a community member who cares about schools, this is a very important conversation for all of us to find ourselves engaged in. We're talking about creating a community of care for students. And why is this conversation so relevant to us now is because I don't believe that all of our schools are doing this, and most of our schools are not doing this effectively. So I want us to have a conversation about what we're seeing, about what is happening, and I want to provide you a couple of strategies that you can implement in your own communities to make sure that we are being more intentional about cultivating an inclusive space for all students. We know that we now live in a day and age where we have one of the most diverse communities that has ever existed for students, for families, just one of the most diverse communities, even in your local community. We're even talking about outside of schools. There's so many kinds of people. There are so many types of diversity-driven characteristics that we need to be aware of and mindful of so that we are being respectful of all people. And we're just being more mindful of what exists in our community. Whether you agree with those things or not, we're not even talking about that today. We're just talking about creating a mindfulness of what exists. I think that most people drive straight into that heart of the conversation is what they don't agree with. And, well, I wasn't raised to believe that, and I'll never stand behind. But these people are still existing in our communities. And as educators, we don't get an opportunity to just sit back and say what we agree with and what we don't agree with, because our first responsibility to our students is that we are there to support them and that we're there to care. We are seeing higher rates, the highest rate of deaths in children ages 8 to 12 is suicide. So many of our children are committing suicide because they are not able to handle the emotional ramifications of what it means to be different, whatever that difference is. That can be race, that can be sexual orientation, that can be religion. We're living in a world where people are not inclusive, where people are very vocal about their belief systems, and they stand strong in that. And when you have a large majority of people who believe one thing and a smaller community of people who agree with another, sometimes that loud voice is drowning out the smaller voice that is so desperately saying, I'm here, see me, and still embrace who I am. So as an educator, I have to put my personal emotions and feelings aside, because whoever walks through my door, whoever walks into my school building, I still have to show respect to. So know that when we move forward in this conversation, that's one of the perspectives or one of the things that needs to occur that isn't currently occurring. Sometimes that happens with the person who sits at the front desk, and then the rest of the community is very vocal, and it shows in their body language, it shows in their tone, it shows in the murmuring when people walk by, or the snickers and laughter and the immaturity of some adults that's just sometimes so disgusting. But we still see it. And so when we talk about creating a community of care, it's not doing some of those things when people come by, not even some of those things. You don't do any of those things. Each of us as educators signs off on a code of ethics saying that this is what we're going to do because it's ethical and it's right. But nowhere do we really sign off on anything that says that we're supposed to show respect. That's a given. As an adult, that's a given as an educator. But you will be surprised how many communities I walk into where I'm saying to myself, are you kidding me? Because this is still happening. And I know that some of you all are nodding your head like, yep, that happens at my school. Yep, that happens on my grade level. Yep, I know somebody like that right now on my team. It's so frustrating because it's not your job to change who a person is. And sometimes somebody says all the right questions on a job interview, they get into the school and you really see their true character come out. And you think to yourself, wow, if I'd have known that, probably wouldn't have been here. But it's one of those things you just don't know until you see it rear its ugly head. So when we talk about now creating a community of care, even in the midst of people whose personal opinions outweigh everything else that they do, We are still responsible for cultivating an inclusive, caring, and supporting school community that promotes academic success and the well-being of each and every student who walks in that building. Right now, I can tell you a large majority of people, because our schools are so overcrowded, do not do this for each and every student who comes into that school building. And let me tell you how we're going to change that. The only way that we're going to change this, we're going to get a little nostalgic for a minute here, because I know when I was growing up, we had school assemblies all the time. Raise your hand if you remember having a school assemblies where you were so happy because somebody said over that intercom system, everybody come to the cafeteria or auditorium or wherever your gathering space was. Y'all got together and you knew that you were going to talk about a particular topic, or you were coming together to assemble to learn. The assemblies that we used to have, we don't really have those much in our schools anymore. And if we do, they're more so performances of things that the students in the school are doing. We don't have intentional assemblies where we've invited in guest speakers, or the teachers in the school are showing or showcasing their talents, their expertise, and their knowledge for the entire student body. Do you know why we don't do that anymore? Because we replaced that time with the 6.5 instructional hours that have to occur in each day, because kids are behind in reading and math, and that is more important than assembling together. And this is where we're missing the mark for our students. This is where we're missing the mark as a community. Because if we're not spending time together as a community, we miss the opportunity to create community care. When are students all together? Again, performances, graduations, if your school is lucky enough to have a pep rally or some kind of a fundraiser where the whole school is getting together. Those are the times you're there and you're literally herding groups of children together. Teachers are going through the aisles, shushing everybody to be quiet. We still haven't got that down pack yet. And then you have some, you know, everybody's trying to figure out what's going so long, what's taking so long. Our focus is on all of the wrong places, and it's not on assembling together to do something that is going to uplift, that is going to motivate, that is going to inspire, that is going to drive us towards the same goals as a school. So that's one of the strategies that we need to get back to, is assembling together, because when we do that, we come back to creating this safe and this caring and this healthy school environment where we're not only able to meet the academic, because we've given that a lot of attention, but we can focus in on the social and the emotional and the physical needs of each of our students. Sometimes I see students who have disabilities or who have special needs, and they're so confused as to what that child has going on. And sometimes they'll tease or they'll laugh. I remember a student who had a helmet who came to school. They would just laugh because they didn't understand special needs. As a child, if nobody has ever explained that to you, which is primarily the responsibility of a parent, but if nobody in your school has even taken the time to say, there are students among us who learn differently, who think differently, who have different physical needs, and as a student body, we are going to show respect. Here is how we do that. Here are some examples. Let's role play. Let's do this together. Where are the opportunities like that for our students to learn? We have to give those things back. I know that we have school counselors. Sometimes school counselors and school therapists and social workers are all swamped, and they're managing multiple schools at a time. They don't have any one particular school that they're committed to. And so there's this frustration there of, my school counselor doesn't even have enough time to come around and do small groups or to do role playing and provide additional instruction in that way. So we have people in our building who can, but we haven't created the time or prioritized the time. So my challenge to every school, to every school educator, to teachers as leaders, because we have teacher leaders too, who are willing to step outside of their role and say, I'm willing to go above and beyond. We talk about that in the Exceptional Educator Mastermind, which you can learn more about at reginacoley.com/mastermind, is will you be the person who is exceptional, who is the exception to the rule, who is not just saying, that's not my job? Because we have a lot of people who do that. I already do enough. I have to do lesson plans, and I'm doing testing and grading, and you want me to stay after, and I have to do car bus duty and this duty, and now you want me to plan that? It's too much. I don't get paid enough. We have people who do that, and they do that real well, and they're going to do that every day of the week that they have an opportunity to talk. But what we need in our school are exceptional teachers, exceptional leaders, ones who can drive us back to that meaning of if it is to be, it starts with me. That's not just something that we say to students because it sounds good for them to chant it and it sounds like a little affirmation. We need educators who can get back to that place. We need community leaders who can get back to that place of moving past complaints, moving past the struggles that we see in our community and moving towards solutions. Everything that you see on reginacoley.com is forwarded towards being solution oriented and driven and focusing on educating people who say, I want to do it, but I don't really know how. I heard a lot of that in my community. I want to do something for the kids, but I don't know how to do that. I'm not a good planner. I'm not a good organizer. I'm not really good at putting these things together. So I had to transform my own platform and space into a space that was focusing on education and doing exactly what I do best, is teaching other people how to do what needs to be done so that they do feel equipped to go out and make this change and not only create temporary change, but create transformational change. And we know that that change is lifelong. We're talking about some things that can really change the trajectory of a child's life. I know that you can all think back to at least one experience in your school years that was like, I remember the day we did this. I will never forget it because it did this for me, and that just changed my whole entire life. I know I have a couple of moments that have done that for me, and I reflect back on them, like what was so amazing about those experiences, and I make sure that I'm taking that forward in the work that I'm doing with this generation so that they can experience that too. Those wild moments didn't just exist for a small few. They can exist for many when we allow them to. So going back to focusing in on creating this community of care, we have to make sure that we are creating caring spaces for all students. I said each and every student in that building, right? So we do this when we create social supports, or we have services or extracurricular activities that come in and help to create this space where we say, I see you and I know that you need this, and I'm going to make it my business to make sure that we offer that here so that you do feel supported emotionally or socially. And we're addressing issues. Like, we have a lot of issues right now in our schools where African American students have higher rates of suspension, or we think that because we're saying things like, oh, that student is more aggressive, and we're not realizing that sometimes culturally that's just how people are. And when you don't fully understand who is in your building, it's very hard for you to address who they are and what their needs are. So we do have to have a little bit of conversation around cultural responsiveness. And that's something that we'll get into in another episode of the Call to Cultivate podcast. We have a whole session on cultural responsiveness in the summer. I'm also doing a professional development session for teachers and leaders all about cultural responsiveness, because I feel like that's another issue that is going to help to really transform our schools if we fully understand what it is and how to really focus in on being better at achieving those goals. So I want to make sure that in doing so that people understand how to do it, they have the right strategies in place and in mind so that they can be more effective in their roles as educators. And again, when we talk about promoting not only good student and peer support, but also adult and student, I think that the teachers in our communities also need to be cared for, and they need to understand that not everybody comes into a building the same way. You have some seasoned experts who are really good at doing the work that they do, and then you have others who need a little bit of assistance. And so when you get on a team, you have grade level chairs and you have people who are responsible in your professional learning communities for offering support. But there are so many different ways to support people. But I think that we have to recognize that people need to be seen and their needs need to be met. And that's the best way that we can really show care and the best way that we can really show support. And lastly, I want to say that we need to also infuse the school learning environment with the cultures and the languages of that community. I know that in a lot of our IB schools, which is our international baccalaureate schools, that focus on culture, that focus on language, that focus on ethnicity, you see a lot of flags and you see hello written in multiple languages. That needs to occur in all of our schools, because we're not just doing that at international baccalaureate schools that have focused on culture. There are a lot of cultures and languages that are happening in our everyday public schools and our everyday private schools. And there are a lot of families who homeschool that want to focus on raising global-minded children. That's the wave of our future. America doesn't exist for just one type of child. It exists for every type of child. So we have to embrace the cultures and the language and making sure that our school environment is infused with that. I distinctly remember in my high school, we had an international night where everybody who wanted to could come out and create their own kind of food, wear their traditional clothing, play their music. And we just literally went from table to table experiencing this person's culture and what they loved most about it. And it was such a sense of pride in that room. I remember we even cooked, like, as Black girls, we got up there, we cooked our Southern food, and we talked a lot about soul food and what it means to the Black family and the Black community. And we just understood each other culturally. And it was such a way where you felt so much more connected and close after that type of event, because you saw what was important to people. You saw what they cherished, and you saw the sense of pride of being proud of who you are. And when we create opportunities in schools like that, man, what a world we can live in, right? So I challenge you, if you heard something in this conversation today that sparked something for you and you want to share it with me, feel free to send me an email, regina@reginacoley.com. I would love to hear what works for you and what you plan on trying in your own environment. Or if you are in a community and you say, I haven't really thought about that, but I would love to host something like that at our local school, but I need help with planning it. Also, feel free to email me. I'll send you some checklists and I'll send you some plans to help you in your organizations to better support our local school communities. We can't just leave it up to educators. We can't just leave it up to school leaders. Even though they're doing the best they can, they sure could use the support of local businesses and local organizations like yourself to get involved and to come in and work in such a personal way like that, where you can share or you can say, I'm willing to sponsor an assembly and get somebody in there and talk to these kids about this. This needs to happen. And like we said, if it is to be, it starts with me. That's not just an affirmation for children. It's an affirmation and a calling, really, for all of us to do more and to be more in our own communities. So again, if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe so that you get notified when new episodes are available. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.